flash of flash, a silver glow, a final bed, the range of a bow, the bed of a well, the end of the line, dismay in the face, it's a loss to find, a spear, a spike, a point, a nail, a drip, drip, drop, the end of the tale, a truckload of bricks in the soft morning light, a shot of the gun in the dead of the night, a mile master thrust above, it's a girl, it's a rhyme, it's a cold, it's the mumps, the plan of the house and the body in bed, it's the car that got stuck, it's the mud, it's the mud, a float, a drift, a flight, a wing, a hawk, a quail, the promise of spring, and the river bay talks, the waters of March, it's the promise of life, it's the joy in your heart.
Welcome to those of you that are live streaming today, and all of you in attendance, praise God. And we have a few announcements this morning about the many things going on here at Unity Minneapolis. But first of all, the flowers today down here, magnificent flowers for a magnificent reason, in celebration of Reverend Pat and Eddie Williamson's 9th year at Unity Minneapolis. Yay, God. And then today, from 1:30 to 4:30, Dr. David Banner facilitates his introduction to the Enneagram workshop. Participants will learn many things in the workshop, such as spotting behavior patterns and I'm throwing that in. I'm trying to recover. Developing compassion and empathy, and much, much more. Also today, my Dream of Peace art event is happening from 1 to 4 p.m. So thank you for making Friendship Hall available for this event at 1:15 p.m. Thank you. Early registration is now open for the Butterfly Effect, the 6th annual Women of Unity September retreat at Camp Courage, at a cost of only $150. The retreat fee will go up on June 15th, so register for this transformational weekend before June 7th, and your name will be entered into a drawing for a free massage at the retreat. So for more information or to register, see the Women of Unity committee members in the Garden Court after the service, or check our website. And then Planting Unity Together is going on now until May 23rd. plant sale on May 24th. And if you want to share any perennials or small shrubs that you might be dividing in your own garden, we would really welcome them. And then this coming Friday, May 22nd, is Reverend Harriet Bellier's Celebration of Life, with a visitation at 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. for the Celebration of Life service here at Unity Minneapolis. This is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And it is going to be live streamed nationwide. That's how big a deal this is. There are many other classes and events going on here at Unity Minneapolis, so please check your bulletin, the garden cord, our website, or call the office if there are any questions about any upcoming classes or events. And if you have a cell phone or electronic device, we ask that you please silence them for this hour. And if you feel called to do so, check in on Facebook and let them know, others know where you are, and let them know that they too are welcome here. So let's begin our service with prayer. Let's just take a deep, gentle breath. Breathe in that presence we know is spirit, and breathe out anything not serving us in this moment. And we thank you, Spirit, for this day. We thank you for our spiritual community, for the ability to gather together with like-minded people. Thank you for our congregation, our volunteers, our staff. Just, and thank you, Spirit, for your love. And so it is. Amen. So let's celebrate this glorious rainy day. We need the rain. Amen. So we begin our service by affirming together our affirmations, and they're printed in your bulletin. So let's start with our mission statement. We are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And our vision statement, we are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. And today's affirmation, I use my imagination constructively. I fill it with positive pictures of good. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived here early to hold sacred space for all of us, and they are here to support you in prayer. If you have any joys, celebrations, or concerns that you would like to pray about, they will listen with the ears of their heart and hold it in the strictest confidence. So please, if you have anything you would like to pray about, please seek one of them out. I assure you, it'll be a blessing for them as well as for you. So let's please stand for our opening song, Everything New. The words are in your bulletin.
New. just as I did back then, I'm gonna rise again. So bring it on. Everything new, everything different, everything true. I am ready for my next thing to do.
A positive path for spiritual living, and we offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, prosperous lives. We're also that open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our first-time guest. And as we do this, we remind ourselves that we were first-timers at one time. So, my dear friends, if you're with us for the first time today, we invite you to allow us to honor your presence today. Just take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Calling all courage out there, all first-time guests, we got courage over here. Keep your hand up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up until our ushers get to you. That purple packet that you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. It also has a card in there. If you choose to fill out any part of that card and turn that into our book desk, then we have a special gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of us important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. We also welcome those that are live streaming with us today for the first time. So let's appreciate all of these first-time guests, okay? And of course, we enjoy greeting each other. We do it with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. Most of us just pick one. And let's do that right now, okay? So this next song, I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able to do so. We're going to sing Namaste. And the words are quite simple. You know, it's not a huge thing here. So I'm going to invite us to, as we do this, not only to sing it to feed our soul, but let's look around at our fellow travelers and also behold the Christ within them as well.
Namaste.
we now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of the Lord's Prayer. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is consciousness. We affirm, I center my thoughts on what I want most in my life. Thoughts held in mind have a powerful magnetic effect called the law of attraction. In simple terms, this means what I think about, I bring about. Knowing this, I set my intentions on the love, peace, harmony, and abundance I want most in my life. By keeping my heart focused on good for everyone, I bring forth blessings for myself and others. I pay attention to what I am thinking and the results that ensue. I see how what I appreciate appreciates, how positive expectations yield positive outcomes. I lift my consciousness to manifest blessings for myself and others. I know the power of my consciousness is one with the power of God. And with God, all things are possible. And Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. The word for today is consciousness.
Mind. God first in all I think, say, and do. I call it all good. Everything I imagine is good. I am a new creation in Christ every moment of every day. I use my imagination to see only the good. I am happy, healthy, whole, and fulfilled. And now, as we rest in the silence, we keep spirit first in our thoughts, and our thoughts naturally flow to our highest good. Let us rest in the quiet. Let us rest in the divine. Remember, in all things, our thoughts held in mind create after their kind. We are one in divine mind, and so it is, and so we let it be.
You can spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so crazy. It's hard to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. Believe it anyway. You can love someone. to walk away. Well, love them anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. Tomorrow they'll forget you ever sang. Well, sing it anyway. Yeah, sing it anyway. I sing, I dream.
Jennifer Parker, Laurie's on off today, obviously, and Jennifer, it's really great to have you with us, and as I sat there and listened to the words of that song, I thought, wow, this is so much about what we're about, you know. Sometimes our teachings, they don't make sense to us sometimes, much less the people that's not part of us. Does that make any sense? You know, it's like, sometimes we are called, my friends, to do it anyway. And sometimes when we are called to do it anyway, sometimes it doesn't even make sense, and yet we do it. Like, for example, you know, we are called to look beyond appearances. We're called not to judge. We're called to not to set it right, but to see it rightly. And all of these things sometimes through the world says no. The world says, go make it right. Go make it right. And we're called, first of all, to know that there's already a divine order that's present, and for us to see beyond that. And we're called to see that regardless of what's happening in our life, regardless of what that may be, that we're called to look for the good, as our meditation reflected this morning. We're called to look for the good even in the midst of what appears not to be so good. We're called to, and I think of Jacob says, I will not let you go till you bless me. As he was wrestling with the angel. And I think sometimes with the things that come into my life that I have to go, I'm not going to let you go until I see the blessing in it. Until I see the blessing in it, I'm not going to let it go. And so sometimes, you know, even this is not the lesson, but maybe it is, okay? You know, but, you know, maybe sometimes when there's someone that shows up in your life, shows up your life and they're in your face. And what you want to do is you sometimes want to walk away, right? Or you want to talk about them, or you want to make them wrong, or you want to just do whatever. And I think as long as we're in this teaching, as long as we continue to come around this teaching, that eventually where we get to immediately is part have I had to play in this? What part have I had to play in this? And that's not an easy question to ask. How did I and why did I attract this into my life? I know that I've attracted this person, this place, this thing into my life for good. And I am ready to see the good. And if I cannot see it right now, I know that it will be revealed in God's time. God's time. So you see, do it anyway sometimes does not make sense. Jennifer does it. It doesn't make sense. And yet we're called to do it. It won't make sense to some of your family. It won't make sense to your work or your co-workers. It won't make sense that our interior world creates our outer world. That will make no sense to so many people. And yet we're called to do it anyway. We are in a series called Working with the Law. And those of you that's been on this journey with me, you know that we teach, we believe that we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings and we are having a human experience and we are governed by spiritual law. We are spiritual beings. That's even hard to see sometimes because sometimes I'm not so spiritual, it seems, you know? But it's hard to see, and I'm a spiritual being and I'm having this human experience. I have come into this body for a purpose, for a reason. And yet I am still governed by those spiritual laws that we teach here in such a beautiful way. I'm still governed by that law of being, by that law of faith, by that law of compensation, the law of love. So many things we can utilize and learn to utilize these things in our life. And as we began this series, we talked about the importance of looking at truth as a diamond. And yet a diamond has many different facets to it. And so these spiritual laws, so many of them represent a facet. And the longer I'm around these teachings, I realized how they interact and how they weave together and how they go about changing my life. So today we're going to talk about a law. You know, I select my titles several months in advance so that we can plan around it and work around it. And sometimes I select a title not knowing what in the heck I'm going to say. Do you know what I mean? So I saw this title, The Law of Reversibility. And I thought, I don't know. What is the law of reversibility? I better teach that. You know, I don't know it, so I better teach it. You know, we teach exactly what we need to learn. And so as I started exploring this beautiful law of reversibility, I realized that, yes, that we do use this and that I do use this law of reversibility. You know, what we're about so much is we're about changing self. We're about changing the self that is within us. And as we change this inner life, then our world changes out here. And so often, again, what I've referred to is we go out and we try to change the world, but we are first and foremost called to change ourself. And as we change ourself, then our world changes. So you see, we don't have to go out and make the world right. I've tried that too many times. It doesn't work. You know, I don't have to go out and make it right. I have to make it right for me in here. And then as I make it right for me in here, then my world shows up in a beautiful way. And then my world is not showing up in such a beautiful way, then I get to look and go, wow, isn't that interesting that I've had something to do with this creation in my world? And I get to look at it in a very gentle way most of the time without beating myself up. Sometimes I can beat myself up, and then that's when I go to therapy. But needless to say, it's like, wow, this is interesting. What can I learn from it? Well, the law of reversibility, I don't know of any New Thought author that's done any more work. Well, because the law of reversibility has a lot to do with imagination, and it has to do with faith. And I don't know of a New Thought author any more than Neville is his first name. He wrote under the word Neville. His last name was Goddard, but his work is all, is anybody familiar with that? I'm just curious. Anybody ever heard of Neville Goddard? Oh, that's a few of you out there. He was a wonderful New Thought teacher, made his transition in the 70s. I'm going to quote from him in just a moment, but I want to also quote from the Law of Attraction. It says, the law of reversibility is a way to obtain your ideal desire by concentrating with ease on the feelings of you, on the feelings as if you have already obtained your desired state. Fully immersing yourself in the feeling of having acquired it in consciousness first, and then open your eyes and live in the expectation by living in those feelings of your desired realized state from the law of attraction. Now we see this law of reversibility, I believe, operating in many different ways. We see it right here on this platform on Sunday morning. My voice is spoken, it is recorded, and you can go out and buy a CD. That's not a shameless plug, but you can go buy a CD and you can listen to it again. This voice has been reversed. Or you can also go out, when you see a movie on film, I don't know if it's on film anymore, it's probably digital now, but when you see that movie, it was first live on film and then shown again. So we too, he goes on to say, Goddard says, and this is where I want to share with you, he says, if a physical fact can produce a psychological state can produce a physical fact. If the effect A can be produced by the cause B, then inversely, the effect B can be produced by the cause. So, A equals B, B equals A. So what we can do, my dear friends, if we know that if we can recapture the feeling of those things, those good things that we want in our life, and live in those feelings, then we can create the event that we want to experience in our life. Oh, I could just see some of you just going off in left field over there. Like, what in the world is this woo-woo stuff about? Well, especially if you're new to New Thought, you may think it's woo-woo, and my only invitation is just say keep an open mind and try it. Not because Reverend Pat said so or Neville Goddard said so, but as Jesus would say, prove it to yourself. Speaking of Jesus, our teacher at Our Way Shore, he did not call it the law of reversibility, but I believe in a beautiful way he says that he explained the law. He says, so I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. He didn't say hope that you will receive it. He didn't say think about it coming down the pipe in a few days. He says, believe that you have received it right now. So we are called, again, to do some interesting things. We are called to believe that our prayer is answered right here, right now. That is one of the reasons why we use affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer is in the now, right here, right now. It is if it has already happened. I am whole and well and complete. Don't make me whole, well, and complete. We claim it now. So that is why we use affirmative prayer. We also get the feeling around what it would be like to be whole and well and complete. So whatever we are called, my dear friends, and yet so often what I can do is I can go over to a prayer chaplain after the service and say, would you pray with me? And they have a beautiful affirmative prayer with me. and have a beautiful affirmative prayer, and then I walk away and go right back into the same conversation. Have you ever done that before? Go right back into, you just don't know the trouble I've seen. And we just turned it over. We just turned it into as if it was true right now in this moment. And instead, we continue to live in it. Well, guess what? I believe that prayer comes through a change of consciousness. We can, as my mother would say, we can pray till the cows come home. But needless to say, what's going to happen is we get to change our consciousness. We get to change our consciousness and begin to see the situation as it is, as we want it to be. And we get to live from that situation. So, there's a 4T course out there, and it's called the 4T Prosperity Program. And there's a class in that program that deals with imagination. And Stretton Smith, the author of the program, says that our responsibility in creating our world or demonstrating our world is twofold. He uses the analogy of a car. He goes on to the engine of the car, how the engine runs, what's supposed to happen to the car. But he says everything is at the starter button. We hit that starter and we expect our car to start, do we not? And I go, thank you God for AAA. I don't understand all that stuff under the hood. I have no intentions of learning it, you know. But I do know that I hit that starter or the key and it is supposed to turn. He says that our responsibility is at the starter button. And the starter button contains two things. He says the first thing that the starter button contains is faith. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the spiritual law of faith. Got it? Faith is the perceiving power of mind shaped, connected with the power to shape substance. Perceiving power of mind. Gosh, what is faith? Charles Fillmore, I've said that 100 times. It's like the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes you get up here and you go, what are the words of the Lord's Prayer? So Charles Fillmore says, it is the perceiving power of mind linked with the power to shape substance. The perceiving power of mind linked with the power to shape substance. So it's our opportunity, my friends, to use this perceiving power to form this formless, take this invisible substance and bring it into from invisibility to visibility. And we do that through faith. Perceiving, of course, refers to imagination. So imagination is at the other part of that starter button. And Mr. Fillmore says, everything that is manifest was first a mental picture and was brought into expression by the forming power of the imagination. Each one of us must not only see the image of our desires as a theory, but we must also form it into living, breathing thing through every motive and through every act. Not only do we have to see it, my friends, but we want to live from it. We want to live from what we see. And sometimes you say, well, that makes no sense. Those of you that are familiar with 12-step programs, it makes perfectly good sense. Fake it till you make it. We act as if. And when we're seeing it in our mind and it's crystal clear and we're giving it shape and color, then it begins to manifest in our life. So imagination is important. Imagination, of course, has three distinct parts. First of all, it's whatever that we can conceive. That means the idea is conveyed from spirit within, and this idea comes to us from the one mind. We are part of that one mind. We teach we are one with God. It comes to us. And then my dear friends, Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth would say, desire also is part of that idea. And as that desire comes to us, we can say that this desire is from the Father, is from the Father within. And we take this idea, which is a divine idea, but the ideas come and they wash through our consciousness. And we can either take this idea and we will express this idea according to consciousness, because life is consciousness. We can take this idea and be in faith, or we can take this idea and be in fear. But we take this idea and we sit with it and we are aware of it. And then the second aspect of that idea is vision. We take this idea, we mold it together from our mind and our heart. We color it, we see it. That vision becomes so strong you can reach out and you can touch it. The vision is so strong that all of a sudden when we're in doubt, that vision pulls us. How many of you have ever experienced a strong vision in your life that you help co-create? It's phenomenal. I see people sitting here in this congregation that has done it, and they're moving. They're going. They're doing it. They're acting on it because it's strong. This vision gives us color, gives us shape. We constantly revision this church. And this is what a church is about sometimes with a vision. It's time also that we looked at our vision again. But then not only do you must have this idea and give it vision, but we must also embody the idea. We must live into the idea. We must color the idea. We must have the feeling of the idea. So how do you determine and live into that? You ask yourself these questions. What would it feel like if I was whole and well and complete? And write it out. What would it feel like? What would it feel like if I had my right and perfect partner? What would it feel like if I had all the money I needed and could move to Timbuktu? What would it feel like? It's not right or wrong, but you want that feeling nature. Because it is that fist, more than just thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. It is thoughts held in mind with feeling that produce after their kind. So you see, once we create that, it becomes so real for us. As Neville Goddard would say, it cannot help but manifest in our life. If your realized prayer produces in you a definite feeling or state of consciousness, then inversely, that particular feeling or state of consciousness must produce your realized prayer. That feeling nature is what helps us to create in our life. So before you walk out of here and go, check him in somewhere. Before you do that, do this. Prove it to yourself. This is your assignment if you choose to accept it. And I'd love to hear from you if you choose to accept this assignment. Go home and think of your future. I almost said rather than mowing the lawn, but your lawn may need mowing. I was thinking of myself here. Go home. Go home, my dear friends, and look at your future. Visualize it in your mind. See it in your mind. And then begin to write about it. Begin to write about it. What does it feel like? What am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling in my life? And then say, this is what it is, and this is how I am going to live. I am going to live from this space. And then if those of you that don't like that one, the second one, then maybe you want to go home and you want to think of a challenge that you have in your life. Whatever challenge that may be. And then you want to ask yourself the question around the challenge. What would it be like if everything was okay, turned out just fine? What would it be like if everything turned out just fine? And begin to write about it. Write about how would I feel? What would it look like? How would my family be interacting? This is not a game. This is ourselves creating our reality that we want to live into. Two assignments. One is the challenge. The other is what do you want your future to look like? I know for a fact that many of you out there are already using this strong law of reversibility. thoughts held in mind with feeling produce after their kind. I can hardly wait to see some of these results, but no more moving. I love you, I bless you, and I behold the living presence of the divine within you. And so it is. Amen.
There's a secret that never dies, like a dance of hidden meanings we never apprehend. There are questions just as old as time, and the answers that come never quite make amends. Even so, when you look at time, you can get a subtle feeling the way it ought to be. Take a good look at your own real life, and you'll see if you want what you've got to be. It's a hope, a sign, a measure of quiet rapture and love and what will come after. It's letting go and letting no answer be an answer.
We're going to receive an offering, so this morning I invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis, and if you're streaming with us, that's easy to do online as well. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth, and I invite you to take your gift in your hand. If you're giving it with someone, hold it together, bless it together. So let's just take a moment and center ourselves, giving thanks for each other and the opportunity to be present to each other. We give thanks for these beautiful spiritual laws. Opportunity to learn more about them and to practice them in our life. I'm going to affirm our blessing, then ask you to affirm it with me and silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. As our ushers come forward, let's just take a moment and give thanks for this beautiful law of circulation. Give thanks that we understand this. As we give, we receive. And so we bless these gifts and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission. We say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. If you'll notice an insert in your bulletin, this is the last three Sundays of May. We're in the midst of our consistent giving campaign. So I know about 100 of our congregants participate in consistent giving, and we are truly blessed. Those of you that are participating, we appreciate that. I know one of the reasons I participate in consistent giving, and most of my tithe goes to through consistent giving as well as on Sunday morning, but one of the reasons I do it, it means that when I'm not here, as I was not here last weekend, I had a great day, I was like, my gifts help support this ministry. And that's why I'm participating in it. When I'm not here, my gifts are here to help support it. So Patty Shevick is a former board member, but also been a consistent giver for some time. And she's going to share why she participates in consistent giving.
Good morning.
Good morning, Patty.
So I was trying to remember how long I've been a consistent giver, and I don't have any idea. It might be 10 years, might be longer. I'm not even sure. But I remember being a little apprehensive at first, and then I was listening song, I must have just said, you know what, just do it anyway, and I haven't stopped since. So, you know, there's the giving part of it, of course. I give to the place that I'm spiritually fed. I was reading in this purple program here, just to leave your contribution represents the value of this ministry, and I'm thinking, wow, I don't know if I'm giving enough, because the value of this ministry for me, it's priceless. I mean, the being a part of the choir, being able to be a part of the board, other committees, taking classes, taking vocal classes, taking improv classes. It just means the world to me. And the other part of it, so that's the spiritual part of it, but the other part of it for me is just, it's easy. I mean, all you do is you fill out this card and you turn it in and you're done. So basically it's, you know, for me, I just, twice a month it comes out of my checking account on the day I get paid. So I don't even have to think about it. Although when I look at my statement, I see it, and it's good to reflect on it and have good feelings about it. But it's also practical too. I mean, working in the corporate world, having been part of the board, I mean, I know logically we have walls here, we have bathrooms, we have staff, We have choir risers, we have technology, we have all these things that cost money. And it's much easier for the business part of the church to understand what is coming forward if they can sort of project. And so if you're a consistent giver, they can look at that each month and kind of make plans that are exciting for the future without, you know, being concerned, will we have enough, or will the congregation be concerned that not enough is there? So, like I said, a lot of that is just logical for me. The other thing is I like to be present during the service, and for me, the offertory is kind of the second meditation. I love when, I mean, like today, Jennifer sang, I'm not sure if I knew what the song was, but that's kind of fun too. There are times when Lori will play where I'll think, oh, there's a Beatles song, or there's an old Lutheran hymn that I haven't heard for a while, or I'll look at my husband and say, hey, that's the song they played at our wedding, and he's like, yeah, that's right. So I hope he's watching. But anyway, I really do enjoy that part of the service, and it's a good time to look inwardly as well as along with the meditation too, so I don't want to miss that by digging in my purse or looking for my checkbook and all these things. So as Reverend Pat said, there's some materials in your bulletin, so this kind of gives you some good reasons why. Also, I'll be out with one of the board members in the garden court afterwards, and we can explain the process, talk to you about it if you're apprehensive, talk to you about that as well. And if you're kind of thinking, I'm not sure or not, maybe just give something. Maybe it's just a small amount of what you'd normally give, and then you can expand that later on. It's easy to change it as well. So I guess I'll just say do it anyway.
Do it anyway. You know, we do not do a pledge drive here. This is not that type of congregation. This congregation is self-supporting through its own contributions, and this is the one time during the year, these three Sundays, that we ask for our consistent giver. So if you're not a consistent giver, prayerfully consider that. And if you are a consistent giver, perhaps you want to reevaluate your gift to Unity Minneapolis. I hear children out there. Let's bring them in.
Upstairs, our regular roster of volunteers takes a little time off in the summer, so it's an opportunity for other congregants to step in and support us through the summer. If you sign up in the garden court, I'll call you. You can pick two or three Sundays that work for your schedule and come have fun with us. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are,
God is,
and all is well.
Peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be.
sky smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue days, all of them gone. And nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shine so bright. I never saw things going so right. Never seen the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from no one. Ba-dee-bee, ba-dee-bee-doo. Sa-boo-dee-bee-dee-doo.